Rutherford family did look like a good candidate for the role of cash cow. But what the hell, Cree decided. You can't let people push you around. She took a breath and let her tone stiffen. We can begin with your calling me Ms. Black. Beaufort's face twitched through an instant of indignation, but in the end the gambit seemed to work. One of the benefits of studying psychology, you could apply it to the living as well as the dead. Ronald Beaufort was, after all, the son of a powerful southern matriarch, on some level still reflexively obedient to female authority, and heir to some residual southern custom of gallantry in dealing with the gentler sex. He straightened in his chair, dipped his gaze briefly, and nodded his acquiescence.
Miss Black, my apologies. I have been told that I speak condescendingly at times, especially when I'm feeling a tad out of my depth. Thank you for reminding me of this failing, and do forgive me. Please proceed.
A trace of the supercilious smile remained, Cree saw, showing he was humoring her.
I do so like a little gal with spunk.
But she nodded. It would have to do. Thank you. As I told Lila, it's not an easy process to describe. Part of the problem is all the traditional folklore about ghosts, haunted houses, the undead, and so on, which gets in the way because it colors people's perceptions of what they experience. My colleagues and I take a more systematic and scientific approach. We don't claim an objective understanding of human consciousness, or the spirit, or life after death, but we do apply in-depth historical research, psychological analysis, empathic techniques, and, whenever possible, technological means to verify and identify what most people call ghosts. Our goal is paranormal research, but we usually have access to the object of our interest only when someone calls us in to get rid of it, so...
Something of an irony in that, isn't there?
Cree liked him a little better for having noticed. Definitely. The majority of our clients are people like your sister, troubled by inexplicable and frightening presences and wanting to be shut of them. So yes, on one level I suppose we are ghostbusters. I prefer to think we alleviate hauntings, hopefully for the benefit of the haunting entity as well as the living.
And we are?
Myself and two associates. You met Joyce Wu, my assistant in the outer office. My partner Edgar Mayfield is in Massachusetts conducting a preliminary review of a case. Sometimes we bring in consultants or network with various research institutes, but we're a small firm.
Partner as in business partner only, or?
That's correct.
Hmm.
Beaufort sorted that away.
And just what are empathic techniques?
Except for the near foray into Cree's marital status, these were all reasonable questions for a prospective client to ask, and Beaufort's inquiring about the empathic issue spoke well of his intelligence. But his tone irritated Cree. Every word seemed honed to show her he felt above all this, was going through it for form's sake only. Again, it's difficult to explain. One thing we've learned is that hauntings are not experienced by everyone. There needs to be some particular psychological vulnerability, sometimes a special connection to the situation, on the part of the person experiencing the haunting. That's why one person can experience something, and another person in the same room experience nothing. It's very, very subjective, a matter of each individual's psychological and neurological states. So one of our goals is to share our client's emotional state, which increases the likelihood we'll experience what they do, and allows us to learn more about the nature of the haunting. We want to know what that special link or vulnerability is and why it's troubling. And if there is another entity involved, we try to share its experience too, to learn what happened to that person, why his or her revenant is compelled to do what it does. We try to learn what it wants.
Revenant?
Just another word for ghost, someone lingering in some form after death. It was all getting to be a bit much for Beaufort, and he shook his head, openly incredulous.
So you are, in effect, what, something of a psychotherapist for ghosts?
Cree just gave him a bright smile. Yes, that's a fine way to think of it, yes.
I'd heard, of course, about this New Age thing in Seattle, but
I'm originally from back east." Beaufort seemed to need a moment to digest what he'd heard. Tapping his fingers together, he looked around the office, then gazed through the windows that took up most of the southwest wall. Cree gave him time, trying to see things through his eyes. Outside, the rooftops of Seattle sloped away to a terrific view of water and mountains. Elliott Bay and the Sound were a somber, deep blue today, and beyond them the Olympic Range was majestic and aloof. But the sky was an exuberant, playful blue scattered with clouds that seemed sculpted with sheer whimsy. Beaufort was frowning slightly, as if engaged in some internal calculus that gave him difficulty. But perhaps he wasn't really such a smug bastard. His skepticism was understandable. Likewise, his unfamiliarity with Psi Research Associates' methods. He had every right to vet what he considered a wacky Seattle outfit before handing over money. There were plenty of idiots and con artists in the field. And however dubious, he was going through with it, honoring the request of his sister Lila, who had called Cree last week, sounding very distraught and desperate. Clearly there was more to him than the persona he apparently felt he had to project. Cree hoped their offices made an appropriate impression on a potential cash client. They'd had the walls resurfaced and painted last week, which gave the place a crisper look, more professional and credible. When all was said and done, she thought the third-floor three-room suite represented PRA well. The reception room and front office, Ed's big lab-cum-tech warehouse at the back of the building, and this, Cree's office, a gracious, high-ceilinged corner room with hardwood floors and mahogany wainscoting. And, of course, the priceless windows. Sandwiched between First Avenue and Post Alley, the old brick building was not in terrific repair, but it had come through the recent earthquake with little more than cracks in the plaster. The other occupants were low-key, a law office and an architectural firm, and Cree felt it was an appropriately professional, discreet headquarters for a firm like PRA. Even with the rent reduction given by the landlord, Ed's rich uncle, they were paying more than they would for comparable facilities elsewhere. The view was expansive. But for Cree, the good light, the big sweep of land and sea, were necessary antidotes to the other side of the profession. Whatever he'd been thinking about, Beaufort seemed to have come to some decision.
"So how's it work?" he asked. "You just come on down there, take a look, do some kind of exorcism, or what?"
"Well, we start with just what we're doing, an initial conversation. If you or your sister think you'd like to proceed to a preliminary review, you pay us a retainer, and then we go to the location. We tour the site, conduct interviews with witnesses, and do some historical research. Once we have an idea what we're dealing with, we design a strategy tailored to your specific situation. This can range from us doing nothing, if, for example, we discover that all you've got is squirrels in your attic, to an intensive process that can take many weeks. For that, we have a standard contract that clearly defines our fees. Really, it's not so different from contracting with, say, an interior decorator." This was putting as mundane a face on it as she could manage in good conscience, verging on an outright lie. In fact, an in-depth investigation and remediation often turned into a wrenching experience for both client and researcher. Beaufort chuckled sourly.
"It's not squirrels in my attic, thank you. It's my sister who's got the squirrels."
He tapped the side of his head with one finger.
"No disrespect intended, Miss Black, but as I've made clear, I do not believe in any of this business. Hell, if you live in New Orleans, you know every damn house is haunted, at least according to the tourist brochures. It's a whole local industry. And as far as that murder, there isn't a house in that town hasn't seen something sensational over the last couple hundred years."
He looked down at his hands, frowned at some imperfection, and picked at it.
"I don't mean to sound flippant. Fact is, we, my mother and myself and Jack, that's Lila's husband, were worried about Lila. She's been very upset since her episode. Unstable. We persuaded her to see a psychiatrist, but it isn't helping."
For the first time since he'd been here, Beaufort sounded as though he might be sincerely concerned. "Why don't you tell me more about the situation?" Lila was reluctant to go into any detail over the phone. "You mentioned a murder. What's that about?" Beaufort took a deep breath and recovered from his lapse into candor and compassion.